All right, so we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy. Yay! 2 Timothy chapter 1, which in the Kindle is on page 3, I think it says 83. My eyes are dilated, so I'm having a little more trouble seeing. 383, okay. All right. It is time to look within at the darkness that blinds you to your awareness of life. You will see many things, all of which are false. Hold my hand and know it is your own truth that you hold to as we look together at all you are not. I don't remember this specifically, but my guess is, knowing my frame of mind when this was received and I was writing this, that after I wrote that first paragraph, there was probably kind of like this, oh shit, you know, oh no, here it comes. And I think a lot of people have that feeling when we're told that we need to look at the darkness. I think people get that oh shit feeling. And I think the real reason for that is because we still have this idea that what we're going to look at is the truth about me, right? It's like, this is what I've been trying not to look at my whole life, and now we're going to have to look at it. And so what's really important here is that he says, you will see many things, all of which are false, right? So we're not really going in to look at anything true. We're going in to look at what is not true, but it's been repressed because we were believing it. Verses 3 to 7. You see yourself as less than, and so you seem to resent those who act as if to be greater than the one you see as you. All of this is based on the measuring stick of personhood. I do not want you to deny how you feel. Denial is not the way of salvation. I want you to look at it and feel it with me. So he's really starting here with that feeling of unworthiness. And I don't remember exactly why he's talking about resenting the one who acts as if they're greater than you. I probably should look in the Bible. Maybe there's something going on in the Bible there that brought that up. I don't remember, but he's definitely talking about that feeling of unworthiness and comparing ourselves to others. And, he's reminding us that, first of all, we couldn't do that if we weren't believing that we were persons. You remember in 1 Timothy, we learned that there are kind of two ways to look at the world. There's the way to look at the world of personhood, or there's the way of looking at the world expression. Personhood is, I'm a person, you're a person, and here's all the ways we're different. Expression is, this here is nothing but an expression of freedom. That's nothing but an expression of freedom. And if you're looking at everything as an expression of freedom, there's nothing to judge, right? It just is an expression of freedom. But if you return to the idea of personhood, then suddenly you have all of these things to compare and judge. So he's reminding us right here that whenever we're comparing ourselves to another and feeling unworthy, or maybe we're the one that thinks we're greater than, it could be that what we've done is we've returned to that measuring stick of personhood. And then he's asking us, he's saying, now, I don't want you to deny how you feel. Because, you know, the first thing that some people will do is they'll go, oh, yeah, okay, I don't feel that way. And they'll kind of look away. He's saying, I don't want you to deny the way you feel. If you feel jealous, if you feel resentment, if you feel envy, if you feel less than, if you feel greater than, if you feel prideful, I want you to admit that that's how you feel. Because that's where we're going to start. That's where the looking starts, right? How can the looking happen if you don't admit what's there? Right? Yeah, you have to be honest. So he said, I don't want you to deny how you feel or pretend like you don't feel that way. I want you to say, you know what, I'm jealous of that girl over there or that guy over there. You know, I'm really jealous. They seem to have this and this and this that I don't have. And I, you know, whenever I'm around them, I feel self-conscious. I feel not good enough. And, you know, admit all of that, you know, to yourself and, you know, to the Holy Spirit or whatever it is that you commune with, your higher self or, you know, whatever. But start by admitting it. And then he says in verse 6, As we look at this feeling of less than and the resentment that is noticed for the one who acts out the role of greater than, notice that what you are feeling is a feeling. Move away from the thoughts of resentment to the feeling the thoughts evoke. Explore within you the feeling. So if I'm resenting someone because actually I'm jealous of them or something like that, he's saying, first of all, admit that's how you feel, and then explore what it feels like to feel resentful. You know, literally go into it with a sense of curiosity and look at it. You know, in order to do that, you kind of have to leave the story behind. So the story might be telling me, you know, I don't like that person because she gets all the attention and, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. That's the story. Put the story aside and just look at, what does it feel like to be resentful? What does it feel like to be jealous? What does it feel like to feel less than?
It's anyone that can do that is, I think, just remarkable, because what you, and I've heard you say this before, but to look at a resentment with a enthusiastic curiosity instead of what you're, what I would usually do is, I think it's commendable. It takes a lot of courage to work. I don't even know what it takes. What do you think it takes?
Well, in fact, he's going to give us a story, you know, so that we have something to relate to that will help us to do it. And this story did help me to do it. And so the story's in the next paragraph. Let's look at that story. Okay, so he's saying, look at it. Notice it's just a feeling, right? Explore within you the feeling. And then he says, can you see that it is just a feeling? It is an experience. And it is nothing more than that. The thoughts that evoke the feeling are nothing. They are mere props. It is the feeling or the experience that is the goal of the Son of God. You have set out to have an experience. So let go of the thoughts and focus on the experience they evoke. Now, what he's pointing back to, even though he doesn't say it directly, he's pointing back to NTI Romans chapter 2. Which NTI Romans chapter 2 was the chapter... I'm having a little trouble looking at you because my eyes are dilated and there's light, so I'm going to ignore you for a little bit. It's like I'm a vampire and they're like, oh no, the light! in NTI Romans chapter 2, it says that, you know, what we wanted as the divine mind was we wanted to experience something that was different than truth, right? He's saying this was your desire. You wanted to experience something different. And now that something different is being offered. If you repress it or deny it, you're denying yourself the opportunity to experience it fully. And the only way you're going to be done with this desire is to let yourself complete it. It's like you started something and you have to finish it. So you need to allow yourself to experience these feelings. And when you allow yourself to experience these feelings, you got to remember your wisdom is still intact. So if you really allow yourself to experience the depth of these feelings, your wisdom is going to say, you know what, that's not all it was cracked up to be. I don't really want something different anymore. What I really want is the peace, the love, the truth of what I am. But he says you won't get to that decision point if you keep pushing off that experience you asked for. And so that story, if you will, is what helped me to allow myself to experience these kind of rough emotions, these negative emotions. When they came up, I would literally remind myself, this is the experience I asked for. I need to allow myself the experience so that I can be done with it. And then I learned somehow to just sit, just be, just rest. And what happened when the emotions did start coming up is they were much bigger than I imagined. Like the guilt was this huge guilt, and the unworthiness was this huge unworthiness. And that's all because it had been so repressed so long. It's like I'd only been experiencing, I'd experienced, you know, guilt and unworthiness before, but I'd really only been experiencing the tip of the iceberg because the rest of it was repressed. And when I decided not to repress it anymore because of this storyline and to allow it to come up and to allow myself to experience it, and the fear too. The fear was much more than I had experienced before. But then something happened where it was experienced, and then it stopped. And you know, it just, you know, it finished, which is what he's saying. You'll finish it, and then you'll realize you're not interested anymore. And in fact, that's kind of what we were talking about before I turned the recorder on. I was saying, like, anger. I was saying, you know, I was joking, saying I'm too lazy to get angry, but it's like I don't have the energy. What that really means is I don't have the interest in that experience anymore, right? Because I allowed myself to feel the experience and see what that really looks like. There's hatred. I experienced incredible hatred, you know, when I was going through this process of allowing myself to just experience these things. And somehow by allowing myself to experience it fully, without repressing it or stopping it or trying to escape it, I then just lost interest in it. It's like, okay, it was kind of like it's a been there, done that feel, right? Been there, done that. You know, just like I don't have any real strong desire to go to Israel anymore. I've been there 3 times. Been there, done that. I don't need to go back to Israel. I don't need to go back to anger. I don't need to go back to guilt. I don't need to... Been there, done that. I've had that trip. And that's the story he's sharing.
But if you were just denying and trying to avoid it the whole time, then you never actually faced it and worked.
Exactly.
Through it. You know,
it's still there.
Back.
Yeah. 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 So that's exactly what he's saying here. I'll read. I'm going to start at 6 again and read those 2 paragraphs. As we look at this feeling of less than and the resentment that is noticed for the one who acts out the role of greater than, notice that what you are feeling is a feeling. Move away from the thoughts of resentment to the feeling the thoughts evoke. Explore within you the feeling. Can you see that it is just a feeling? It is an experience, and it is nothing more than that. The thoughts that evoke the feeling are nothing. They are mere props. It is the feeling or the experience that is the goal of the Son of God. You have set out to have an experience. So let go of the thoughts and focus on the experience they evoke. Verses 8 to 12. Life is a roller coaster of feelings. But when you are lost in your thoughts, you rob yourself of the feelings you set out to experience. It is as if you skim the surface, but you do not go in for a full flavor of the experience. And so the desire for experience remains at a level of which you are not conscious. The unanswered question remains unanswered because you have not allowed yourself the full experience by the distraction of your thoughts. So if I, you know, again, if I'm thinking, oh, I hate that chick. You know, I hate that chick because she's this and she's this and she's this and she's this. What it's saying is I'm playing that blame game, that projection game, right? That is a total avoidance technique. Even though I'm experiencing, you know, some anger, maybe some hatred, some jealousy, some resentment, I'm skimming the surface. You know, I'm at the tip of the iceberg. It's actually an avoidance technique to keep running those thoughts in my mind about how much I don't like her. And so it's saying if you really want to be done with this, you need to drop that story. Just be with this feeling. And you may only be at the surface in the beginning. Be with this feeling of resentment or jealousy or unworthiness or whatever you feel. And as you be with it, it'll start coming up. Because guess what? Now you're not trying to avoid it. And since you're not trying to avoid it with your storyline, right, it's going to start coming up. And it probably will get bigger. Because there's a lot underneath that surface. You know, an iceberg is much bigger under the surface than on top. But this is the experience you've been asking for. And if you allow yourself to have that experience, then you're going to answer that question you asked, what would it be like if everything were different than it is? If everything were different than truth? You're going to see the answer at a level that's not intellectual. It's another level of seeing. But as you experience that hate fully, that guilt fully, that unworthiness fully, that jealousy fully, that resentment fully, somehow you're going to become done. But you don't become done with the yap, yap, yap of the mind, because the yap, yap, yap of the mind is keeping you only at the surface. Verses 13 to 14. The good teaching that you have been entrusted with is the teaching of your innocence. This is the teaching you must accept if you are to experience the fullness of your experience and let go of your curiosity. When you feel guilty for desiring experience, you cover over it with thoughts. You may call them self-rationalizations or a tool of denial. Thoughts are a distraction from desire caused by the fear of desire. Yet while you allow yourself to be distracted from it, the desire or the wish remains. So again, what he's saying here is the reason that we project is because we're really, really afraid of what's underneath, you know, what's underneath the projection, the guilt, the fear. And he's saying the reason that we're afraid of it is at some level, maybe not intellectual, but at some level, we know we're responsible for that. And we feel really guilty about that, being responsible for that. And he's saying you're not guilty. In fact, he told us back in Romans 2 that our question, what would it be like if everything were different than it is? He goes, that's just a curiosity. And I'm glad you decided to go out and play and find out the answer. You know, so he's saying you're not guilty for wanting to find out the answer, but your fear that you're guilty for wanting to find out the answer is keeping you from finding out the answer, and therefore it's just keeping you kind of running in circles at the surface. So trust that you're innocent. Trust that you're innocent. And allow yourself this experience, because this experience is what's going to set you free. No matter what kind of darkness comes up, right? So stay with the idea, with the truth, that you're innocent and this is okay. Verse 15. Your guilt is a misperception and nothing more. But your fear of your own misperception has become an obstacle. It is time to let that obstacle go. Release yourself by accepting your own innocence. God has granted you the right to have experience. You have within you the desire to have experience. This desire remains until you have let it go. But you cannot fear it and let it go also. You must let yourself realize the experience to see that the experience can hold no limits that could ever limit or hinder you. So again, if you just go through this, then you'll lose interest in it. Because the wisdom is still alive in you, and you're going to know, hey, you know what, that's not what I want. So why don't we go ahead and look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Step forth in purpose, and purpose is all that you shall see. So here he's telling us, you know, when you do experience this, when you make that decision to experience these emotions, you want to keep in mind why you're doing it. You're doing it to be done with it. Right? This is why you're doing it. You're doing it to be free. You're doing it to complete something that hasn't been completed so that you can put it behind you and move on. And so he says, if you remember why you're doing it, that's going to make all the difference in the world. It's going to help you to do it. And not only that, there's something about your intention. Like, if you have the belief, I am bad because I don't allow myself to experience my emotions. I'm going to allow myself to experience my emotions so that I can be good. That intention is not helpful. Because that intention is actually keeping the belief that you're bad in place. Like you have to do something opposite to be good. So that intention, even if you allow yourself to experience all these emotions because your intention was in the wrong place, it's not going to be healing. You have to really hold on to your purpose. I'm allowing myself to experience these emotions so that I can see they're not really what I want. I'm allowing myself to experience these emotions so that I can be done with them, grow tired of them, lose interest in them, you know, whatever feels right to you. But your intention is very, very key. So as you do this, you want to decide what your purpose is, you know, pick a healthy purpose, a helpful purpose, and then do it for that reason. Step forth in purpose, and purpose is all that you shall see. You protect your fear. You protect it because you believe it protects you. You believe that there is something worse than fear beneath your fear, and so you protect your fear by keeping it in storage. But you will not find your release this way. So what he's saying here is we usually do not allow ourselves to experience our fear fully. You know, once fear starts coming, and fear is a pretty tough emotion when it starts coming up in a really big way. I mean, it's a very, very tough emotion. And what he's saying is when that emotion starts arising, what we really try to do is escape it rather than allow it. And he's saying the real reason for that is because we believe that our fear is, well, our God. We believe that fear is trying to protect us. So if fear is saying there's something to be afraid of, that's for my safety, and I should listen. So for example, if an intense fear starts coming up, and let's say that health is your thing. Everybody has different things. Some people it's money, some people it's relationships, some people it's health. Let's say health is your thing. And it starts speaking to you about, you know, oh, you got this little pain in the side. That might be something very serious. You know, you should go to the doctor. You should go to the doctor. Next thing you know, you're dialing the doctor and you're going to the doctor because you think, oh, it might be something. You go to the doctor. Doctor says it's nothing. You go home. And then, you still got that pain in the side. Now there's a little pain in the... You better go to a different doctor. You know, you better go to a different doctor. And every time fear speaks, you listen. Why? Because you think fear is trying to protect you. And so this keeps you from experiencing your fear fully and being done with it. Because remember, in order to fully experience it, you have to stop the projection game. You have to stop believing the story. In this case, you have to not go to the doctor this time. If that's what you always do, is run the doctor, and the doctor can never find anything, but you always run. You know, if that's your pattern, and you know if it's your pattern, right? You have to not go to the doctor. And when you don't go to the doctor, like you always do, because you've always believed that fear was trying to keep you safe, guess what's going to happen when this time you decide not to go to the doctor? The fear is going to get humongous. And what most people will do at some point is break down and call the doctor. It's like, I'm going to die. You know, that's what we believe is underneath that fear, is our death. I'm going to die if I don't listen to my fear. See how much we believe the fear is protecting me? I'm going to die. And so we break down and we call the doctor, and once again we've escaped before the whole thing came up.
It's almost like detoxing from a drug or getting off cigarettes. Like when I quit cigarettes, it convinces me, like, you know, oh, you're screwed. There's no way you're going to be able to handle the stress of work without a cigarette and just all the stuff, and it drives me crazy to where... It's like you either give in,
yes,
or you ride it out, and then when you ride out the suffering and face it head on, then it's like,
that's exactly what it's
nothing
like.
Once it's done, and you're like, eh.
Yeah, oops, dropped my glasses.
That's kind of like how I feel, too. Then I smell cigarettes now and stuff, and I'm like, I'm done with those.
That's an excellent example, and you do. You get to where you're done with them. You don't want a cigarette anymore, but you wouldn't have if you kept running back and having one more, right? You're never going
to
be done.
Like, my mind's trying to trick me to go back to them.
That's
right. You're
not
going to be able to make it without them. You're not going to make it through the night. I mean, you're suffering. just have one, you know.
And you'll be happy. Yeah. Well, then that's exactly what fear does. And again, it depends on what your thing is, you know. Everybody's got their own thing. Peace Pilgrim used to say that the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. So it knows exactly what story to start telling that is going to cause you to, okay, you know, I'll make that phone call, I'll do that thing, I'll, you know, so that you're listening to it again. But as soon as you start listening to it again, it's like you've kept some in reserve. You see, you didn't be still and do nothing long enough for it to all come up and for you to be done with it, right? And it's saying the reason we keep it in reserve is because we believe it's protecting us. It's our God. It's got my best interest at heart. But it doesn't. It's just trying to keep you addicted. Right? It's trying to keep you listening to ego. That's all it's doing. Yeah, that was a great example. Thank you for bringing that up. So, let's see. I'm going to read that paragraph again, starting with sentence 2. You protect your fear. You protect it because you believe it protects you. You believe that there is something worse than fear beneath your fear, and so you protect your fear by keeping it in storage. But you will not find your release this way. You must go forth in purpose, which is the purpose of know thyself, you know, which of course is know thy free and peaceful and joyous self, no longer addicted self, right? With only this purpose in mind, you must be willing to release everything that is not the purpose. And fear is not the purpose. For fear's purpose is to hide the answer from you. You fear that to let loose your fear and experience it is also to come to the foothold of destruction. You believe that to step to that place and not be destroyed, you must hold on to the last remaining shred of fear. In other words, you truly believe fear is your salvation. This is why you hold on to it. But fear is not your salvation. Fear is the opposite of salvation. To realize this, you must be willing to experience that which you fear, by the way, which is just fear itself, and let it go. By experiencing fear and not perishing, you learn that you cannot perish. This understanding taken to heart is a true glimpse of who you are. So again, what's underneath the fear is the story, you're going to die. You know, it's basically without me, your God, fear, you're going to die. Right? That's what it's saying. You need me to be safe, to be taken care of. Without me, you're going to die. And this says if you will just allow all of that fear to come up, what you're going to find is the fear will go away, and you know what? You're fine. You didn't die. You know, the whole thing was a lie. You're still here. You're okay. And it says this is a glimpse of who you are, because who you are is that which is untouchable, unchangeable, right? Eternal. And when you survive fear without dying, you start to get a glimpse of that. That, you know what? Things can't hurt me the way I thought they could. Like that whole story was a lie. Here is a trustworthy saying. I am all that I am. That is all I am promised to be. But I cannot limit myself through fear and know all that I am. I choose to release the limits I have chosen for myself. In their release, I see that I am. So again, we realize that isness that we are when we're purified of this fear. So we have to be willing to experience it and grow done with it. And then we can see what we are, our true self, the I am-ness of what we are. Make this the constant prayer of your heart. In purpose, step forth unto your release. It's so funny because I don't even remember a lot of the stories of the intense fear that I felt. But the last time I really remember feeling intense fear was when I lived here. It was like the first year that I lived here, and it's a stupid story. It's when I had those gophers in my backyard, and I couldn't get rid of those gophers. And the ego was just telling me the craziest stuff, like, you know, if you don't get rid of the gophers, you'll never be able to sell this house again. You've got all your money in this house. You're just going to lose everything. Nobody's ever going to want it, right? And not only that, but your boyfriend isn't going to love. I can't remember why my boyfriend wasn't going to love me now. But, I mean, I do remember that the ego had this whole story going about how if I didn't get rid of the gophers in my backyard, Ron wasn't going to love me. And I mean, my whole life was going to just fall apart if I didn't get rid of those gophers. And it takes balls. I don't know what else to say. Forgive the language. But it takes balls to just do nothing when the ego is telling you that your whole life is about to fall apart if you don't listen to it and make that phone call and do that thing, you know, whatever it is it's telling you to do. It takes a lot of balls to just, in my case, when that happened, I usually would just lay in bed, to just lay in bed and let it wash over you. But the reason I laid in bed and let it wash over me is because I wanted to be free. And I knew that if I would run and do what fear said, I would still be a slave to fear. It was going to speak up another day. It might give me a temporary fix, like the cigarette gives you a temporary fix, right? But it's going to come back, and it's going to demand more of me. And so it was the desire to be free that would allow me to kind of just do nothing through these horrendous attacks. I called them ego attacks because that's what they felt like. They felt like the mind was attacking me. But I'm really happy that I did nothing, because I do feel free now. I feel really free. You know, I don't feel like I'm a slave to fear anymore. And that's nice. Verses 14 to 19. The resurrection is within, for it is the light that has never died, but it has been covered by the mask of false belief. The mask is dark and heavy, and it occupies your every thought when you believe heavily in it. This is why it must be let go. It hides that which is you and is within, living now in peace. It hides all this, and it tells you that the truth is not true. As long as you hide in fear, you believe it. You believe the false, and it is fear that keeps you standing there. Again, you're a slave to fear. It is through fear that you are purified. Do not shy away from fear. It is through fear that you realize your own shining, because it is through experiencing fear and releasing fear that you learn fear has no hold on you. The unlimited cannot be limited by fear. Do not flee that which life is bringing to you when you know that you see it coming. Turn to it in faith, having faith that it cannot hurt you. It has come only to teach you. Move from the thinking mind to the heart, which is the place from which you may experience the gift without denying it. Experience it in trust. It is only an experience, and it places no limits on you. Again, the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. So depending on, you know, some experience may be coming in life. It may be an experience that seems to be threatening your financial security. It may be an experience that seems to be threatening your sense of belonging. You know, maybe, you know, your spouse or your lover is threatening to leave, right? If you don't do something that you're not really feeling to do. So it's like force, kind of. You know, something is coming. And what the ego is telling you, my God, you have to avoid this. You have to avoid this. You have to avoid this. This is saying don't. Let it come. Because if you let it come and you do nothing, you will be set free. But if you listen to the ego and you try to manipulate, control, or act in some way to avoid it, you're going to remain the slave. And this is why so many people remain the slave. Because they really do think fear is their God. And they really do think fear is trying to save them, and if they just do what fear says, they'll be okay. And you know what? They will feel a temporary relief. But that's the key. It's a temporary relief. There's going to be another thing, another day, and fear is going to come back and demand more of you. And so you have to really know, what do you want? What do you really, really want? Do you want to keep having the temporary fix and remain the slave of fear? Or do you want to be brave enough to be free? You know, to do nothing, let whatever's coming, let whatever's coming come, and just be still, in trust, and break through. Right? That's what it's asking here. Starting with sentence 7. It is peace that shall carry you through fear. When the fear has dissipated, as a fog within sunlight, you shall see that only peace remains. Remember that the world and its thoughts are only props. Dive directly into the experience. By experiencing it in full without a wish for salvation, by a wish for salvation in this case it means a way to escape the fear, right? By experiencing it in full without a wish for salvation, you experience it without dying, and that is salvation. So this one's going to be a little harder to have an assignment for, because you may not have intense fear this week, right? So I can't assign that you practice this, but Yeah. And I don't recommend that. I don't recommend, because one thing that's important about this, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have at least known one guy in my life who used to do that kind of thing. He would go out and like dare God because he wanted to be through with his fear. Notice this said, it said somewhere about face what life is bringing you, right? It didn't say go out there and force the situation.
It's just a thought. See if you can find your willingness to stand in the fire.
Stand in the fire. So that's what you're recommending for the assignment?
Well,
That's not my best shot,
but it's a shot nonetheless. But it did get my attention because it points in that direction. It points towards the willingness to wait, I think.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I would call it the willingness to wait and let the universe resolve things in however way it's going to, instead of you taking control. Yeah.
I kind of feel like it could be anything, not just fear. I mean, in the bigger level, everything is caused by fear.
But I mean, not, you don't necessarily feel the intense
fear. Yeah, because when we very first started this section, you know, the thing it reminded me of is not just fear, but like facing how it's very easy to look at a spiritual concept and say, okay, I'm not supposed to feel jealous by this person, or right, or let's say somebody wrote something on Facebook that irritates me, or I feel like somebody's not being a very good friend or something, and it's best for me to just kind of, like, they're ignoring me, and I just need to deal with it, let's say that's a good one. Somebody's, like, ignoring me, not really talking to me. So I could say to myself, you know, If I don't legitimately face it and really figure out what is going on that I don't feel, but I just know that I'm not supposed to let it bother me, then I can just easily pretend that it doesn't bother me,
right,
even though it does. I'm not facing it and figuring it out. I'm just saying, well, they're just kind of a bitch. It's their problem.
That's,
you know,
right,
all this stuff to convince myself that I don't need them. I don't need them in my life because they're stupid, whatever. That's actually not, you know, and I have to work really hard at that with all sorts of issues, not just fear. So, I mean, that could maybe be the assignment, you know, it's just any situation that pops up like that, that you would tend to just pretend that you're okay with, to really just stand in it and face it and figure out what it really is.
Yeah, so why don't we give a couple of possible assignments? That way, your life will give you whichever one you need to do. One possible assignment is being honest about what you're feeling. Saying, okay, I admit I feel whatever right now, and I'm willing to look at this and I'm willing to be with this. So that's one possible assignment. The other possible assignment might be, if you hear your mind telling you, oh, in order to be safe, be happy, be loved, be seen as worthy, you have to XXX, see if you can not XXX. A simple little thing that used to be with me, because I have had people in and out of my house, is that I had to make the bed in order to be worthy. Not just to make the bed, but in order to be worthy. So I started saying, okay, you know what, I'm not going to make my bed. I'm going to let it be unmade and let people see it that way. Because, it wasn't really about making the bed, right? It was about that mask, So two possible assignments, maybe you'll do one, the other, maybe you'll find that you do both. Be honest about what you're feeling, admit it, and look at it, and be willing to be with it. And then the other possible assignment is, if you notice, the mind is telling you, you have to do this, and the idea is, in order to protect yourself in some way, see if you can just not do it. And you may notice fear coming up, even if it's something as simple as not making the bed when there's going to be people in your house. You may notice fear coming up. We have all kinds of little things we do to try and avoid. All right, so with that, I will stop the recorder and then we can have a little bit of silence.